John's Gospel, chapter number 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse 27. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman, yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now, Father, we thank you today, dear Lord, that we have this opportunity that we can come and assemble ourselves in this house of worship. But Lord, today we can bow before your throne in the name of Jesus and bring our petitions and supplication before you. And Lord, today we offer up today our humble thanksgiving that you saw fit to send your Son to be our Savior. And Lord, this morning we pray that as we endeavor to proclaim thy truth from thy word, that thou will give thy servant the unction of the Holy Spirit, that thou will allow us today to expound thy word, exalt thy Son, and glorify thy name. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. A young girl graduated from college and was getting ready and got her first job. And so she came to her father and said, I've just got my first paycheck. What should I do? And he said, well, you ought to go down to the First National Bank and put your paycheck in there. It's a good bank and they'll take care of you and set you up a checking account. And so she did that. About 2 weeks later, she came back to her daddy and said, Daddy, you've done messed me up awful bad. And he said, well, what do you mean? What's happened? She said, well, that bank you recommended had went broke. He said, went broke? He said, I was just down by there and they wasn't broke. She said, well, they sent my check back, said insufficient funds. Well, sometimes, we get confused about recommendations today, but I want to recommend a man this morning. The Samaritan woman recommended him. She said to those people in Samaria, come see a man. We find this morning that what a man that we find here in our text today. You see, here he was, and even his disciples at one point in his life as they were in a boat and as they were traveling across the Sea of Galilee, and they got terrified because a storm had arose, and they woke him up, and he stood in the bow of the boat and said to the waves and the wind, peace be still. And his disciples marveled and said, what manner of man is this? H.G. Wells, a historian, had a list of the 10 most influential men in history, and at number one, he placed Jesus Christ. But you know today, Jesus Christ is more than number one. You see, Jesus today is in a class all by himself. In the Song of Solomon, you find that there as the bride was considering her beloved, and they asked her, why were you so mournful? What's so special about your beloved? And she said, he is the chiefest among 10,000. That means today that of every 10,000 and any 10,000 you compare him to, Jesus Christ stands head and shoulders above them all today. You compare 10,000 lilies of the valley. I'll tell you, the lily of the valley this morning stands far ahead of any lily that's ever been raised today. Jesus Christ is the chiefest among 10,000. He is in a class all by himself this morning. Nobody can compare to Jesus. The Bible says that on the night that he was born, that angels came singing and the hallelujah choir came down and began to sing and announce his birth to humanity this morning. We find that as he was baptized, that the Almighty God of glory spoke at his baptismal service today. We find that even the government of his day, even the great Roman government, had to examine him and could find no fault in him this morning. When the Pharisees sent people to arrest him and bring him before their council, and they came back empty-handed. And they said, we've never heard a man speak as this man speaks today. You see, today we know today that as he was crucified upon the cross, even the toughened Roman commander of those soldiers who had seen, I'm sure, many executions, many crucifixions, had to say, truly, this was the Son of God. Jesus Christ is today the Son of God. He is this morning the Redeemer of the world. We find today that in our text that he meets a woman at a well. And as he meets this woman at a well, she's going back into the city and testifying about what Jesus did for her. You know, this morning that's kind of what we have to do as his disciples today, as his converts today, is we have to testify what Jesus has done for us this morning. As you study this story, you'll find several things that Jesus does. The first thing that Jesus does is he begins a conversation with her. He begins to converse with her and to talk with her. And even his disciples were marveled that he even talked with this woman. Why? Because she was a Samaritan woman. Because today the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. That's what she asked him as he asked her for a drink of water. And as he began this conversation with her by asking her for a simple little thing like a drink of water, she said, you know, I don't know why you're talking to me, because the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Even his disciples, as I said in our text today, were marveled and they were amazed that he would even talk with this woman. But you know, that's the way Jesus is today. A lot of people think today they're too bad for Jesus this morning, but they're not too bad. They've committed no sin today that Jesus Christ will not talk to them about. This morning, you're never too bad for Jesus Christ to converse with you. You're never too bad today, and you've never gone so wrong and traveled so far away from Him that He's not willing today to talk to you today. What a man today that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ. I could recommend him to anybody today, because it doesn't matter if they're a Samaritan. It doesn't matter today if they're a Jew. It doesn't matter today if they're a barbarian or a Greek. It doesn't matter today, as the Scripture said, whosoever will today. But the Bible says that Jesus began this conversation with this woman. And she said, you know, I don't understand this. You're talking to me, and yet today the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. And he said, well, if you knew who I was talking to, yet you wouldn't be too marvel today. You see, Jesus today is willing and able to come to anyone this morning. I don't know who. Anywhere I go, and no matter where I can travel today, I can recommend Jesus Christ to any race, to any nationality. I can recommend Jesus Christ in any part of the United States of America. A lot of people think today that it's different when you go from one city to another and one state to another. But let me assure you today, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that today we can travel around the globe. We can go to any city. We can go to any town. We can go to any country. We can go to any state. And our message today should still be the same, Jesus Christ. Because today, no matter where you go, everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus today. Every country needs Jesus. Every county needs Jesus. Every city needs Jesus. Every community needs Jesus today. And Jesus today is willing and able and has the ability to work in any country, any city this morning. That's why we support missionaries. That's why in a little while we'll take up a Margaret Lackey offering. That's why tonight we deal with Operation Christmas Child, because we share the gospel with those around the globe today. We allow Jesus Christ to be preached and presented all around the world this morning, because the one common denominator that every country and every city, every community and every person needs today is the Lord Jesus Christ. He converses with her. And as he then confronts her. You see, the Bible says in them, as he's talking to her, that Jesus said, go call thy husband. Let your husband come down. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. I'm not married, she said. And Jesus said, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And in that thou saidest thou truly. He confronted her. He said, go call your husband. She said, well, I don't have a husband. He said, you're exactly right. You've had five, but the man you now have is not even your husband. You're living in sin with someone who's not your husband this morning. He confronted her with her sin. You see, that's what Jesus does. He confronts us with our sin. A lot of people don't like confrontation. They don't like to be faced and made to look at themselves. Jesus made her look at herself. He said, look here, ma'am, I know all about you. I know everything there is to know about you. You today, this morning, you know, that's one of the most convicted things about the Scripture today. The Bible says that Jesus even knows the faults and the intents of our heart. Jesus knows what we're thinking. Jesus knows what we're doing. And he confronts people with their sin. We hear a lot about the grace of God, and we're going to see that in just a moment, because God's grace is magnificent. It's amazing today. We hear a lot about the love of God and how great God's love is. But you see, before we can ever find love and grace, we find this morning that Jesus is going to confront us with our sin. He's going to bring us face to face with reality. He's going to make us see ourselves as God sees us this morning. You see, we can look around today, and we can look at each other, and we can all look pretty good. We can begin to think how great and how gracious and how wonderful we are. But you see, God really knows all about us today. And you see, Jesus says you got to see yourself as God sees you. You've got to see yourself wretched. You've got to see yourself today as your righteousness is a bunch of filthy rags. It's nothing compared to the righteousness of God. And so he confronts her with her sin. He'll confront you with your sin. He'll confront me with my sin. That's one thing people don't like to be confronted with. We live in a day and age when people want to be told it's okay to do anything you want to do. You can come to church and we'll give you a motivating moral sermon. We'll tell you how to face the giants in your life, or how to face the Goliaths in your life, or we'll tell you the five stones to victory over this, and we'll tell you all of this, but we're not going to make you see yourself as God sees you. But Jesus said, lady, I want to tell you, you're a sinner. Lady, let me tell you, I know all about you. And so when he began to confront her with her sin, what was the first thing she did? She began to bring religion into the picture, didn't she? Look what she said. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. She figured that one out pretty quick, didn't she? Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. You see, she says, you think we ought to be Baptist or Methodist? Should we be Pentecostal or Church of Christ? What denomination should we be, Jesus? She begins to talk about religion, and he challenged her on this, you see. He said, lady, let me tell you something. He said, you don't even know what you're doing. He said, you worship you know not what. Well, have you ever thought about when Jesus did that? That's kind of like nearly slapping you in the face, isn't it? He said, "Lady, you don't even know who you're worshiping." That's what he said, wasn't it? Jesus said, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when neither shall in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what." You don't even know what you're doing. You see, he challenged her with a religion. You see, that's what a lot of people want to bring in when you begin to confront them with their sin. Well, she's saying, "Well, we're Samaritans as good as the Jews. Well, I'm just as good as those people down at the church. I'm just as good as this person, or I'm just as good as that person." Well, you may be. I don't know. But that's not what Jesus was talking about, and that's what he's talking to her about. He challenges her today on her religious views, and he tells her, "Hey, it doesn't matter where you worship. That's not going to get you to heaven. Doesn't matter what denomination you belong to. That's not going to get you through the pearly gates. That's not going to bring saving grace to your life." And she said, "Well, you know, Lord, I know something else." And verse 25, "The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things." Now she said, I know the Messiah is coming, and I believe that he's coming. And she said, "I know when he comes, he's going to tell us all things." No, Jesus saith unto her, very simply, verse 26, "I that speaketh unto thee am he." You just met me. Here I am. Here I am. That's pretty simple, isn't it? She said, "I know he's coming," and Jesus said, "I'm here. I'm here." And what did she do? The Bible says in our text this morning in verse number 28, she left her water pot. Why didn't she leave her water pot? Well, she done got a new water pot. Jesus said, "Hey, I can give you eternal life. I can give you living water. You won't ever have to come and draw water again." Well, she left her water pot. And she headed back down into the Samaria. And when she got there, what did she say? "Come, see a man that told me all things ever I did." He changed her life. He turned her completely around. She was a different person when she got back into Samaria than she was when she left that day. Didn't take Jesus a long time to change her. I can always imagine in my mind a little bit of how it kind of went when she got back into the city and she began to tell all these folks what Jesus had did for her. And I could just see her when she got back to the house and she walked in and said, "Pack your clothes and get out." And, "Wait a minute, baby, what's going on? Now let's sit down here. We can work this out. It ain't what you think it is. Get your clothes packed and hit the road, Jack." "Well, I ain't got anywhere to go, baby." "I don't care. Hit the road. You're out of here." Why? Because, see, Jesus changed her life. That's what Jesus does. You see, religion hadn't done anything for her, but Jesus changed her life. What a man. Amen. What a man. I was talking about what a moment. Well, here's a lady that has been dominated by sin. But suddenly she meets Jesus. And he turns her completely around and changes her life. What a moment. You know, and what a miracle. I thought about what a miracle that was. We talk about miracles, and I hear a lot of people sometimes talk about miracles, and I believe every miracle Jesus performed in the Scripture. Don't misunderstand me. But you see, the greatest miracle Jesus will ever do today is when He changes our lives. That's the greatest miracle that could ever happen to anybody. If He changes us and turns us around and makes us a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. That's a miracle, folks. Nicodemus said, how can a man enter his mother's womb again and be born again? Jesus said, you don't do that. I'm going to take care of that part. You got to be born from above. You see, today Jesus Christ changed this woman completely. And you know, the good thing about it is, George Hamlin wrote a song that said, it is no secret what God has done. And what He's done for others, He can do for you. In verses 39 through 42, you find that the Bible says that many of the Samaritans of that city believed on Him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all that I ever did. And so when the Samaritans were come unto Him, they besought Him that He would tarry with them, and He abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of His own word. You see, He didn't just do a miracle for her, He done a miracle for the entire city. The Bible says many. What it says? And many more believed. But you know, I want to ask you this question today. What about the ones that didn't? Why didn't they all believe? Why didn't every person in Samaria believe in Jesus? Why didn't they accept Jesus this morning? Why did they reject the Lord? Now think about that. You see, I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe in an old rugged cross. I believe in a man called Jesus, without whom my soul would forever be lost. Morning, I believe in God, and I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe in heaven, and I believe in hell. I believe the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I believe today that Jesus Christ is the only one who can redeem us and reconcile us and regenerate us and bring us back in favor with the Lord today. But yet I find that as people in that day, people today still reject the Savior, still rejected salvation. I remember many years ago when the Lord first called me in the ministry, and I started out, and I thought, boy, it won't be long, I'll have the whole world saved. They ain't never met me yet. I got it figured out. Didn't take long for that bubble to burst. Why do people reject the Lord? I mean, here's a man that this lady said, come see a man. Told me all things ever I did. People were coming and being saved, but some weren't. You know, Isaiah said he is despised and rejected of men. Here was a man who went about doing good, a Savior who came to save. But yet we find they crucified Him, rejected Him, mocked Him. And I have to say, why? 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 Well, sometime, you know, the Bible says, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, it begins to talk about people who are not going to be in heaven, and it leads off with the fearful. Those today who are just afraid, and their pride is keeping them from coming to the Lord. They're afraid of what somebody might say about them. They're afraid today that somebody might make fun of them. They're afraid that they might not be able to fit in with that society anymore. And so they just fearfully, and so they reject Jesus Christ. The unbelieving. That's unbelief. A lot of folks don't believe today, and you can talk to people today, and I can go up and down the road and talk to people about the Lord. I can talk to them, and people will talk about the good Lord. They'll talk about the man upstairs. And I'll say, well, do you believe the Bible? Well, yeah, the Bible. I believe the Bible. Well, why don't you come to church? Why don't you get saved? Well, you know, basically what they're saying, I don't really believe the Bible. I don't believe that God will really punish me. I don't really believe that God today will reject me simply because I rejected His Son and went my own way. Unbelief. Unbelief. They just don't really believe today the Bible. They just don't really believe what it says. They're rebellious and stubborn and sometimes sinful. But let me boil it down to one thing today. It's a choice. People make a choice. Matthew 11, Jesus said, come unto me all you that labor heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Revelation 22, he closes out with whosoever will may come and take of the water of life freely. If you flip over a couple of pages in John and you look at John chapter number 7, you can find that Jesus said in verse number 37, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. John 21, he says, come and dine. Over and over and over again, we see the wonderful and glorious invitation that Jesus Christ gives to all of humanity. Come, come, come. Come and dine. Come and live. Come and be refreshed. Come and rest. Come and be redeemed. Over and over and over and over again. And this Samaritan lady said, come see a man. God has sent people out into this world today. He's established a church. He sends missionaries around the world. And they simply say, come see a man. And Jesus said, come unto me, all of you that labor are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And we find that people say, no, I'm not coming to Christ. You know what Jesus said? Let me give you a very, very, very terrifying verse. John 7:34. You shall seek me and shall not find me, and whither I am, thither you cannot come. One of these days you're going to want me. But I'm going to say no. No. People reject the Lord Jesus Christ. How sad that is, in spite of everything that He's done for others. I'm glad to tell you today I can invite you to come see a man. I'm glad that He came today. I'm glad that God's Son came into this world of sin and woe, that He came and lived a virtuous life, and that He went to the cross and He died there on that cross. He gave His blood as a sin offering today to pay the debt that I could not pay, that He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and that He was raised again, and that He's sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God, able to save with uttermost those that will come unto God by Him. I'm glad that Jesus Christ came this morning. I'm glad that one day He called me. He said, come. Come. You can come. I'm inviting you. You can come. Make a choice, boy. You can come. And I'm glad this morning to tell you I went to Him. I'm glad that He redeemed me and changed me. I'm glad this morning I stand before you with eternal life. Not because of what I've done, but because of what He's done this morning. I'm glad this morning that I can proclaim to this world, come see a man this morning. I can say, come see a man that told me all things ever I did. I can say, come see a man today who is the Lamb of God that will take away your sin. I can say, come see a man who will change your life and make you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. I can say, come see a man who will give you eternal life, who will satisfy your thirst, and who one of these glorious days will usher you in to the very palace of God and give you there that mansion that He's prepared for you. This morning I say to you, and my closing words are very simple. Come, see a man. Come unto Jesus today as He invites you to come. All right, if you'll stand together with me for prayer, Brother Bruce, if you and Barbara come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. We ask you to take this very simple message, use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In his precious holy name we pray. Amen.